popping up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there! Happy start to spring break for many of you out there. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm for the NFL. However, it's not spring break unless you consider a trip to Boca Raton spring break. It is, of course, the NFL owners' meetings down there in Boca Raton. Lots of interesting comments from earlier today from Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, and Paul D. Podesta as well. And we will talk to Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, who was down there around 2 o'clock. We'll talk about that as well. Also want to get your reaction to RG3. It sounded like, and we'll give you the gist of it from what Sashi Brown was saying down there in Boca Raton, that the Kaepernick stuff, kind of as we alluded to here on CBD, was overblown, was more of a media creation than an actual thing that the Browns were interested in. And now, of course, they're going to go ahead and, it says, continue to do their due diligence on RG3. So our big question today is, are you interested in RG3? I'll lay out the case why I think it's not a bad idea at all. I don't know if Matt agrees with that. We'll find out his take on it. We'll also talk a little about Joe Hayden's kind of surprise injury and surgery, something happening in an offseason workout, the team saying they're not sure if he will be ready to go for week 1. So we can talk about that. We'll talk, obviously, about just basically everything going on with the Browns. The team also made a very strong statement, I felt, about what's going on with Joe Thomas, saying that he will be the left tackle. They are not in any way, shape, or form looking to try to trade him. So that's something certainly that we will keep an eye on there. But, Matt, let me just say first off, hello there to you, my friend.
Hello, my friend. I am very good, you know, and had a great weekend. We kicked off our Force Indoor Flag football season with a very, very strong victory, and a lot to not enough. And again, I had to make a call to my defense coordinator, my brother, Kurt Wilhelm, and say, hey, the manufacturer of points is never going to go away because I am, in fact, the offensive coordinator. But he did not pitch a shutout. So we were a little disappointed in that. But I'll tell you what it did do. It allowed me to understand the how great we did putting this team together, and the overabundance of talents that I have, and it's really sent me back to the drawing board. It really has. So, I mean, I'm talking what we were able to do, you know, with really no practice time, because you get, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and what we were able to execute against a very good, you know, we're the Giants, so we played the 49ers, and we whooped them up pretty good. And it really has sent me back to the drawing board. So, and you know me with X's and O's, Nathan. So this is just, I mean, I'm talking, you know, and even if they're out there listening, or I mean, shovel pass may now be in play. Option may be in play. Some throwback stuff, some throwback screens, some slip screens. I mean, we're talking like next level stuff, 7-on-7 indoor flag. So, but a very big victory. We had we decorated eggs this weekend. My niece, who I haven't seen in 4 years, is going to be visiting for the next couple weeks. And so it's all in all, a lot going on and a very adventurous weekend.
Good. It's good to hear. What were your thoughts on we'll start with the Joe Hayden situation, because there's a lot to talk about. We got Joe Hayden. We got RG3. We got Josh Gordon, the NFL basically saying, oh, yeah, we told you we had 60 days to rule on it, but no big deal. We're not going to do that.
You know, the Josh Gordon stuff, it'll happen when it happens. And I think if, in fact, he is – and has done everything they've asked him to do, I don't understand why he won't be reinstated. So I don't know if it's a matter of if he's reinstated. So just more of a matter of when, which has got to be reassuring for every Browns fan, especially Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson, as he, you know, would most likely become the number one weapon in this offense. When it comes to Joe Hayden, what I want to understand is what surgery he's having, because I myself have had an ankle reconstruction, you know, meaning the ligaments were so stretched and so torn that they had to be, you know, tied back together and tacked back down to the bone in a walking boot for 6 weeks. and then started the rehabilitation process. And I've also had an ankle clean out, the opposite ankle, just a quick, bone spur, shaved down, back, running again in 5 or 6 weeks. So how bad is this injury? And if the season is in fact in doubt, it's a little bit scary for me, especially for a guy that we got, 5 games out of last year because of concussions and multiple other and finger injuries. So one of the few franchise players we have left to potentially be in question is a little scary to me with the roster that many people are saying is already towards the bottom of the National Football League.
Yeah, and he's the guy that's making, the most money on this team. He's your highest paid player. He's the one guy that you did re-sign in free agency and gave the big contract to and said, we want to keep you here for a long time, et cetera, and that's Joe Hayden. And you want to get that guy on the field to be kind of your leader. And it remains to be seen what's going to happen on that front. But this is an injury for a guy who's coming back from injury, who didn't have a great year last year, that you would have thought a real good off season getting into, again, what's a new defense, although it's one he's been in before, fortunately, with Ray Horton, that it would have been important to have Joe Hayden here, and now that's not going to happen. Now, you've got Tremont Williams, you've got Pierre Desir, you've got Justin Gilbert, but you're going to have to need one of these young guys to really step up and be able to be an on-the-field every down corner. And the funny thing about it is, too, is I think if Joe Hayden was healthy, not for anything that he did wrong, it's just I don't see how 32-year-old Tremont Williams at $7 million fits into this regime's plans with everything we know.
I understand completely, and I think as you reevaluate your interest in RG3, which we'll get into here shortly, and as well as potentially moving past Colin Kaepernick, does a guy like Jalen Ramsey, become part of a conversation who can go in that back end? You do some shuffling around. As you said, you got Justin Gilbert going into his third year. Hopefully that epiphany happens for him with Hugh Jackson and the new coaches and leadership here in Cleveland. So we're never short on content here in Cleveland when it comes to talk radio.
No, certainly never a dull moment. I'll start with Josh Gordon for myself. At the NFL, I think given how short somebody made a good point to me, and given how short these guys' careers are, when you have somebody's career hanging in the balance and you say you're going to take 60 days, you have a 60-day window, do it in the 60 days. Like, these people are dealing with enough. It's a short enough lifespan that you have in your career. So why would you make these people toil around? And I think Josh Gordon has clearly kind of gotten a little bit of a message from someone somewhere. As you notice, his Twitter's been cleaned up significantly. All the references and the pictures with Johnny Manziel have been moved around and are gone. So I think that, it's interesting on that standpoint, but just let him know. And Sashi was kind of said, we hope to have him back. We're planning for it. But if he's not back, we got a plan for that too. And that's probably the easiest one because you just haven't had him. But all of a sudden, if you look at this Browns wide receiving core right now, it's not pretty. Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, Darius Jennings, Terrell Pryor, Taylor Gabriel. That's really what you're dealing with.
No,
and that position needs to be addressed significantly, whether you sign RG3, draft Jared Goff, do both, or do neither. You got to address that position.
Yeah, you're right. And that's where, the Matthews kid out of Miami and Randall out of New York, and there were just some names that I thought they could get at a bargain.
Randall's still out there, so he could
Oh, so he is still out there. Okay. So I would hope there's some link to him because – And it has nothing to do with, what was his production in New York? And you got to understand that, the hype that was around Odell Beckham Jr. and maybe he took some of Victor Cruz's reps and he wasn't so highly productive. But, A, you need someone to be productive in this offense and throw the football to with Josh Gordon in question. And this is no knock against, Hawkins and Hartline and Gabriel and those other guys. But we saw what that looked like last year, and it filled us with questions all year long, regardless of who the quarterback was, whether it was
sure.
Johnny or Josh. So I think you really need to shore that up because, Gary Barnage, and I said no knock against Gary, but probably not going to have a career year now that he's on everyone's radar in this offense, and I expect, his role to change over the course of the next little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's a position that sorely needs to be addressed. Obviously, we talked about the Joe Hayden thing, so let's just get into the RG3 situation. I am much more in favor of this than I was for Colin Kaepernick, and I'll give you a few reasons why.
I can kind of assume some of the reasons why, and I'll probably agree with you, so go ahead.
You don't have to give up a draft pick.
A.
It's probably going to be cheaper.
Yes.
I would argue that he's more talented I mean, this was a guy, let's not forget, it was only 4 years ago that this is a guy that the Washington Redskins decided to basically mortgage their draft future to go up and get, was considered, you know, neck and neck with Andrew Luck, comes out as rookie of the year, takes him to the playoffs. The talent is there. It turned into a clearly a toxic situation for him and the Redskins, whatever, and that's that situation. That's a unique situation, and it did not go well. And I think that's obvious and apparent to anybody who knows anything about RG3 and what happened there. I will say, for a guy who was almost in some ways publicly humiliated last year by their organization, didn't hear a peep out of him, he did nothing wrong. I think that he's hungry, he's motivated, he's talented, and he's the kind of guy that if Hugh Jackson, we all know how good and how well he does with quarterbacks, that could resurrect RG3 and get the best out of him. Is he a franchise quarterback? I don't know. Does this preclude me from drafting a quarterback at number two? Should I bring him in? Absolutely not. I still would personally draft Jared Goff at number two. But I think that he's a guy that can come in. And when you look at this regime, you know, we know Josh McCown is the greatest mentor, and we know Josh McCown is the greatest guy and a guy that I have a ton of respect for. But would you rather take a guy who's got upside to maybe help you over the next couple of years at this point as your number two quarterback or 1A or whatever RG3 would be in that situation? I don't know. To me, you'd have to figure out, can RG3 fit in the framework of whatever it is that we're trying to do here in terms of he's not going to be handed the job, obviously. Could he mentor? Could he work with? Could he be a backup? Where's his head at? So that's something that we would need to look at for RG3, number one. Number two, when you look at this thing, is he physically healthy? Do we have any doubts about his physical health? Is he fine? Okay. Number three, are we certain? Because, and another reason I like him more than Kaepernick is he's shown the ability at times in his career to win from the pocket and be, he's a better pure passer of the football than Colin Kaepernick. So the third question, the biggest piece to me is, can he process quickly enough and deliver the football on time under 2.5 seconds from the pocket of the majority of the time to the satisfaction of Hugh Jackson? If the answer to all of those is yes, I'm absolutely worth giving him a rip. Why not? There doesn't seem to be much risk, and the reward could be you get a guy who refines the form that made him, you know, the rookie of the year in the National Football League.
I agree, and to not even to go in as much depth as you did, but to graze along that surface, I like him better than Colin Kaepernick. I think that Colin Kaepernick is much more of the physical runner, where RG3 was much more of the more athletic, you know, lanky, stringy, you know, runner. And I think he learned his lesson via that knee injury, and I think that knee injury will always be in the back of his mind, which will force him to stay in the pocket, and the offensive coordinator or Hugh Jackson as the play caller will play to his strength but not ask him to do what they asked him to do or he felt he had to do early in his career in Washington. So that's one thing. So from a pure passing standpoint, I like him better. His ability to process information, as you said, being a pocket passer, you have to do that. And I think Colin Kaepernick has consistently struggled.
Yep. Regressed, even.
Yeah, exactly, and regressed and was asked to do very little. You know, 1, 2, 3 reads, almost like a college program out there in San Francisco with Jim Harbaugh. And I think the second thing, significantly cheaper. I think if as we looked last year when we talked about Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Austin Davis, and Connor Shaw, and our investment into the quarterback position, it was at less than $10 million, right? And I think, you know, Josh, again, being at 6, and if RG3 is going to cost you, you know, 4, 5, 6, and I believe that Sashi Brown, with his experience in contract negotiations and now playing the role that he plays here with the Cleveland Browns, we use it as leverage because RG3, I would think, after the way things went in Washington, would want an opportunity on a prove-it deal, meaning not a one-year deal, but maybe a 2 or 3 year deal, backloaded or incentive loaded, where the Browns, you know, pay him some good money, but better money if he performs the, you know, the way he could possibly perform in a Browns uniform. So that's something I think could possibly work out for RG3. And then all in all, like you said, the fact that you can sign him off the streets instead of have to work a deal with a team that might ask, and not for a king's ransom, but might ask for significant assets for a team that's trying to build, or as some might call, rebuild, and take those from you for a guy, you know, who's really not a lock to be a franchise quarterback and play at a high level in a Hugh Jackson offense. So that's why I like RG3 better than Colin Kaepernick as well.
Yeah, I think it seems to me it sounds like one of those situations that certainly could be very much so a win-win for the Cleveland Browns. And that's, I think, what you're going to ultimately end up getting out of the situation. It's a guy, low risk, high reward. He's proven that he's played well at the NFL level before, and now you're giving him another opportunity to do just that. And I think that is ultimately, when you look at it, that's why this is appealing to you. It's why it's appealing to me, and why it's, I think, ultimately going to be appealing. And one of the reasons why the Browns have kicked the tires on him and are willing to kick the tires, I think, even a little bit more here going over the next couple of days. Will this happen? Is it imminent? We don't know. We'll talk with Mary Kay Cabot, who spoke with the decision makers of the Cleveland Browns back there at down at 2 o'clock. She's down in Florida, Boca Raton, for the owners' meetings. We'll talk with John Keim, also from Washington, about their experience with RG3. Is this a guy that is even savable on some level? You know, and that's, I think, that's the big question. If Hugh Jackson, at the end of the day, to me, thinks, look, I like the talent, I still believe in RG3, and I think that I can get the best out of him, then I'm all for it. I am all for it. I think that, why wouldn't you in that situation? Because that's what Hugh Jackson's best at.
Exactly. And just to continue to expound on it, I think in some cases what happened, and I'd have to dive in, you know, real deeply, or, and again, we'll get that insight later on in the show, but Daniel Snyder, a lot like some people thought, Jimmy Haslam picked Johnny Manziel, and Daniel Snyder, you know, was the RG3 fan who wanted to give up the boat to get him and so on and so forth, and then he fell out of favor with the coaches and maybe not so much the scheme. So there were a lot of internal intangibles that led to the debacle of RG3 and playing quarterback in Washington, well beyond his ability to grasp or perform in that offense. And absolutely, I think a change of scenery, you know, with a fresh outlook, as I said in my second point, on some good money, but great money on a prove it deal where, you know, that is incentive laden for him to almost rebuild his brand and get him back to people thinking the way they did about him when he led the Redskins to the playoffs as a rookie, coming out as the Heisman Trophy winner.
Absolutely. All right, 216-578-0850. We want your take on this. What do you want? Do you want the Browns to go ahead and pursue RG3? Do you want to see him come here? And if the answer to that question is yes, what I want to know is, if the Browns were to get RG3, do you still want them to take a quarterback at number two? Or in your mind, is that it for the quarterback at number two? You'd want them to focus elsewhere. 216-578-0850, off and running on this Monday. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gibbs, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs with you here on this Monday. The Browns certainly not dull this offseason. Always seems to be something. Now at the owners' meetings, a lot of talk about RG3. And Matt, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this on Twitter. I don't know if you're on your Twitter over the weekend, but somebody sent a picture to us of somebody wearing a Matt Wilhelm jersey out in public the other day.
Really? A Chargers jersey?
No, 35 Buckeyes.
Oh, 35 Buckeyes.
It was a signed one,
in fact,
which,
really?
I don't know if they should be wearing that out in public, but nonetheless.
Hey, man, you know, it's a big deal every once in a while. I still get a lot of pride, you know, in why, you know, you're back in Ohio, but my favorite thing is leaving the state of Ohio and seeing Buckeye gear outside the state of Ohio. You know, there's nothing better than that.
Oh, yeah, and it is certainly all over the place, indeed. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Lynn in Cleveland to start it off. Lynn, welcome.
Hi, guys. Your show is great. It's a
Thank
favorite
you.
One I listen to every
Thanks,
day.
Lynn.
You know, RG3, I would love to have him. It's a low risk. He's definitely 500 steps up of Johnny Manziel. He can run. He's athletic. And you have nothing to lose. You know, it's not like Kaepernick where you're, you know, third round pick and trying to get the money to come down per year. I mean, I agree with you. You know, back it up with a lot of, you know, incentives. And I like it a lot, and I still would draft a quarterback. I would draft Jared Goff. I did see the pro day that he had on NFL Network, and his mechanics looked very well. He was able to get the ball out fast. He's accurate. He's played better competition than Wentz has. And I think that does count for something a lot, because I know myself, when I went from high school to college as a fast pitch pitcher, there's always adjustments you make. And so going from college to the pros, I think Goff's going to be very successful. Wentz is okay, but I just like Goff. And I like his mechanics. I mean, I'm not a professional quarterback, but he looked like he could throw well. And I love the fact that they made the ball wet, so, you know, he had to throw it. You know,
yeah.
It's just too bad to bring him here, that he could, you know, we could make wind happen a lot, you know, just to see how he would throw. But I think he'd do fine. He'd make a good transition. And you know, it brings some excitement back to the team. My concern is building a front line that's going to help these quarterbacks be able to throw the ball and throw it fast where they need to. Because, playing football, those guys are fast, they're big, and you don't want them to take a real beating. Like, I always think of Tim Couch. I mean, you know, he had no line at all, and he wasn't in football very long.
No. No, he was not. So I like that, and I like where she's coming from. Why not on RG3 again? Risk-reward proposition seems to be pretty good on the side of RG3. You got Hugh Jackson here, and the reason Hugh Jackson has this job is his ability to work with quarterbacks and get the best out of them in the National Football League, and that's why he's here. So if you believe RG3 has some talent, which I think pretty much anybody would, then it seems to me that why wouldn't you kick the tires on him with Hugh Jackson here? And again, it doesn't preclude you, because as you pointed out correctly, Matt, the deal that you sign RG3 on is likely to be a one-year deal. It is likely to be a very quick deal, maybe a two-year deal for him, but very little guaranteed money beyond 1 or 2 years. So if you're RG3, you're saying, I can come work with Hugh Jackson. I can make myself valuable where I'm either going to get paid. And by the way, if you're the Browns and RG3 turns out to be great and you drafted Goff, that's fine. You can pay RG3 because you're going to have Goff on a rookie deal.
Absolutely.
And if not, you know, then you've got Goff to step in, or Wentz, or whomever it ends up being again.
Yeah, and think about it like this. I mean, if RG3 comes out and wins 6 games, maybe a 7th game, or goes, you know, 5-11 in a rebuild, build, development year, but shows flashes and signs within Hugh Jackson's offense, is anybody complaining?
No,
I mean, because it's like we had the savior in Johnny Manziel, and we know what he's done. You know, we got the veteran, and I go, this is not in any way, shape, or form to knock Josh McCown, but the combination of quarterbacks that we accumulated last year got us to three wins, and there's a reason why we sit number 2 in the draft.
There is.
Can it really be all that bad if Sashi applies his strategies and Paul DePodesta's analytics to orchestrate a contract in the Cleveland Browns' favor that RG3 agrees on a prove-it type? Because he has to do that anywhere he goes.
Yeah.
You know, to prove it, he's got to play the way that he's played in the past, or the way that he believes he can play in the league to stay in the league. Why not have it happen in Cleveland? And like you said, if he supersedes and plays above and beyond, boom, throw him the extra $2-4 million. Because in most cases, you would hope it gives you hope and also gives you a few extra wins down the road, which, again, keeps this fan base very happy.
I truly believe, at the end of the day, the reason the Browns have been where they are is they have not had consistent high-level quarterback play. So if you're the Browns, you should be doing everything that you can to try to address that problem, and I believe that is what is happening now. That is exactly what Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, that's what they are trying to do now, is figure out a way how to address this problem once and for all and get it taken care of the right way. That is everything that they are trying to do. And if they can do that, and with RG3 and a pick, RG3 and a later quarterback, RG3 and quarterback at 2, whatever it is, or just a quarterback at 2 and then a quarterback later, I still think they need to put multiple assets at this if they can do that. And I believe that they can. I believe they have the resources. They have the ability. So that's why I say do it. Because who is excited? Think about who the opening day starters have been lately for the Cleveland Browns, okay? We're talking Brandon Whedon, Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel. I mean, Johnny Manziel. I wish Johnny Manziel. Brandon Whedon, Brian Hoyer, and then this year, Josh McCown. None of that in any way, shape, or form says, hey, here's the future of our organization. So to me, what you're hoping to do is be able to find some guys that, look, if these guys worked out, yeah, okay, you could see that this could be the future of the organization. That's the goal, as far as I see it, for this team, is to figure out a way to do that. How can we do that?
Yeah, and why RG3 over Colin Kaepernick is because when you want to talk about assets, it would take assets to acquire Colin Kaepernick, where the assets are monetarily still in favor of the Cleveland Browns because, A, we have the cap space, and most likely we'd be able to structure it in favor of the Cleveland Browns in hopes that RG3 plays the way we hope he plays in a Browns uniform.
Right. It couldn't be more well said than that, my friend. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Scott in North Canton now. Scott, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
good
man.
How are you?
Good. Matt, the Ohio State grad, bleeds scarlet and gray all the way through.
Awesome. OH.
IO, man.
There you go.
Unfortunately, you guys have stole a lot of my ammunition, but the thing that I really like about RG3, signing him, I think would be a no-brainer. Because obviously, I'd rather have RG3 in a third-round pick than Colin Kaepernick. Now, from a fan standpoint, what I hope would happen was that Hugh Jackson would be able to look me in the eye and say, I can work with that in terms of RG3 and the skill set, enough so that he's comfortable holding off until the third, fourth round to get another quarterback. Because what excites me most about a fan is the opportunity and what we can potentially do with our first-round pick and second-round pick if we don't have to use either of those on a quarterback to be able to fill other spots. I think that's what really excites me about it. But if Hugh Jackson says, you know what, there's just too many question marks, then, you know, I think they're probably still going to have to go and take a quarterback at number two.
Again, and I think you got to do that. This is just me. I just think you got to get that quarterback no matter what. Some people on Twitter are like, I don't want RG3. I don't want Goff either. I don't want Wentz. I don't want any quarterback. We need to build a team and then get a quarterback. We need to get a quarterback. It's a heck of a lot easier to build a team when you've got a quarterback. A heck of a lot easier. That's why you just saw that the Houston Texans, they think Brock Osweiler might be that guy. They just threw a pile of money at him because they need a quarterback. Had they had a quarterback, they'd be in much better shape, the Houston Texans. Much better. Let's go to Benji in a triple A truck. Benji.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. How are you, man?
Good. Last week I called. It was on my off day, but now I'm at work now, so.
All right.
For the most part, you know, the only intriguing thing about the quarterbacks is the post and pre-snap read.
Yep.
And what's that? The guy from Cal, he has that.
Correct.
Now, with his issues with his hands and whatnot, if these are not your franchise quarterbacks, just like he said, go get RG3. It won't hurt your cap. It won't hurt your team as far as money and everything. And you get those pieces. And then you still go get, like, you already failed for Cardale anyway. Go get him later on. And if those pieces that you draft already, whether it be you move up or whatever to get Ezekiel Elliott or a wide receiver or whatever, those pieces will be in place by the time next year when that draft class comes out. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a Browns fan, been here from 85. I want them to win. I don't want to go 5-11. I don't want to go 7-9. I want to go 10-6, 11, and whatever. But the ideal point is, if we do go 5-11, at least you have those pieces in place for that next quarterback that's going to be your franchise quarterback.
There's a certain part of me that agrees with what you're saying. Again, I just think we need to find as many pieces as possible before we can decide whether or not, you know, we've got the right piece per se. I think we need to keep going out there and trying to do it as much as we possibly can before we can decide whether or not we've got the right guy. And that's the whole goal, right?
Yes,
finding
absolutely.
That right guy. And if RG3 can be that right guy, then that's great. RG3, sign me up. Be the right guy. That's fantastic. If RG3, if he can't be the right guy, that's why we also drafted Goff or Wentz or whatever. Keep going until you get it right. Part of what the Browns are doing here in terms of this quote-unquote rebuild is they're trying to get everything down, stripped down in the sense of younger cheaper, better, so that when they put the pieces together, like Jacksonville did by getting a Blake Bortles, or like Oakland did with Derek Carr, and then getting talent around them, Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, in the case of Oakland as well, not only that, but also getting, for that team, you also got Khalil Mack, which we all know has worked out incredibly well. You're doing this, why? Because you're building that way, and now you're seeing those teams as big active players in free agency and bringing people in and trying to get over the hump. The Browns need to get to the point where they can get over the hump. What the Browns were trying to do for years and years was throw this money at players and old players to keep them just treading water.
Yeah.
Which is not the way to do it. You need to sink so that you can rise in the National Football League, or you get the quarterback and you just rise right away.
Get a break there, bruh.
Let's do it. All right, when we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Mary Kay Cabot from the owners' meetings in Boca Raton. She'll be with us at 2 o'clock, 2:30. John Kime from Washington, all talking RG3, the latest on your Browns. 216-578-0850. Give us your opinions here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. You guys are fired up talking RG3, the Browns, what it could be. I mean, could you imagine, though, just I know things have obviously circumstances have changed, but RG3 is a guy who's just out there on the market. Teams are, you know, dipping their toes in the water. They're a little bit nervous. They're a little bit skeptical. But this is the same guy who at one point, you know, the Rams were able to extort the Redskins for. That's what the kind of talent that this guy has. Is he the same player? I don't know. But if you believe that you have a guy in Hugh Jackson who gets nothing but the very best out of his quarterbacks, then you've got to be pretty excited as a Browns fan about the opportunity to get a guy like RG3 here, because he made it because he can be proficient. I know that the read option, I think they made him more of a read option quarterback, and that's not what he truly was. I think we'll get an opportunity if he comes here to see RG3 in a position where he may succeed. I'm not going to say he's going to succeed, but a position where he may succeed with the Browns. Let's go to Chris in Columbus now. Chris.
Hey, Nathan. Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Got thanks.
Hey, when I saw this story come through this weekend, I got very excited. I was hoping that the Browns actually went this direction. And the reason why I say that is this. He's a proven winner in this league. And it allows the team to build around RG3 if he becomes if he becomes that franchise quarterback. Nathan, I understand what you're saying as far as still drafting a quarterback, but the thing is this. If you draft a quarterback at number two, and maybe you guys give me your opinion about this, if you draft a quarterback at number two, and based upon how much time you can spend with those quarterbacks, how much practice time you can have with them, I don't know if you want to draft a quarterback at number two and have RG3, because RG3, in order for him to be successful, I think he needs to have that repetition with, you know, Hugh Jackson as a quarterback guru. So I don't think you want to go with a quarterback at number two in the draft. You want to build around RG3. I would say tell RG3, you know, you're going to have a two-year contract to see what you can prove to us. Still draft a quarterback, but later in the draft, and let that quarterback know, like, look, we're going to see what RG3 can bring us. And then, you know, just bring him along slowly, a lower round quarterback. So,
see that, thank you very much for the call. And see, that notion scares me.
Agreed.
It scares me because what I think as this franchise tries to progress forward is, and even just reading into, you know, what he was saying is, 2 years we could potentially be stagnant with RG3 not panning out after 2 years and having a middle round developmental quarterback taking over a starting job with zero experience because we experimented with RG3.
Correct.
I think you bring RG3 in to compete for this on a prove it deal, as I've said three times in 41 minutes, you go quarterback and put RG3, who was the Heisman Trophy winner for a reason, was drafted and gave up the farm for a reason by the Washington Redskins, with a guy like Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, right? In Hugh Jackson's system. And if RG3 professionally needs every single rep to get back to who he is, we don't want him anyway.
I was going to say this, by the way. If you were going to tell me that signing RG3 precluded me from drafting a quarterback at two, then I'm out.
I agree.
Nathan Zagura, out. I'm out. That's not what I'm thinking. I want to make sure that we do everything we can to get this position right. Again, is it Jalen Ramsey? Are these guys great talents? Sure. Now, if you were of the belief fully, and I mean that the Browns fully, Hugh Jackson, fully of the belief that RG3 was their franchise quarterback, which I don't know how you could say that, but let's say that that was the deal. Okay, that's fine, and then you could perhaps address the quarterback next year, whatever. But I truly believe for the Browns, the most important thing is getting this right at the quarterback position, and I want to see them do that with a combination of assets. Get as many as you can. There's nothing wrong, in my mind, with looking at RG3 and having him in here. The one thing that does concern me is the reps, because I'd want, if I brought a guy in at number two, I'd want him to get a bunch of reps. But everywhere they went, you had another quarterback there. Carr goes to Oakland. Matt Schaub was there. Carr ended up beating him out. Chad Henne was in Jacksonville. Yep. Ended up beating him out. Did Blake Bortles. Now, Teddy Bridgewater's behind Matt Castle, and he didn't come in until Castle kind of got hurt and was struggling, and then he took over. I think it also, what it does is it alleviates the need, the rush for Goff or Wentz to come in and play day one, because you have a guy that you know at least can play on some level. It gives you a potential to have more upside at that position, and it lets you go. I think that you look at Josh McCown, and you know, if you said to me, who would you want as the veteran quarterback on this team, Josh McCown or RG3? And I am as big a Josh McCown fan as there is. I'd want RG3. Why? Because he could actually be something for us in the course of the next decade.
And A, he's, what, 26 versus 36?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. All right, let's try Mike in North Canton now. Mike, welcome.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I've been watching the Browns. They've been my team since 1957.
Well, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Nice.
All right. They get RG3. Great. Then at number two, if he's still there, you take Joey Bosa.
He'll be there. I can promise you that. Well, he'll be on the board. I don't think Joey Bosa fits necessarily with what the Cleveland Browns are doing on defense. I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I think Joey Bosa best projects in the National Football League as a 4-3 defensive end.
Yes.
And that's not what he would be with us.
Not a wide nine, but a 4-3 defensive end.
Right, and that's what he would be with the Browns, is a 3-4 outside linebacker, right? I mean, he's not big enough to be a 3-4 end.
Or he'd have to be a two. He'd have to put on 20 pounds and be a five technique. And you do what you and you do what the Houston Texans do with J.J. Watt right now.
Yeah, the problem is he's not J.J. Watt. There's only, as far as I know, there's only one J.J. Watt.
There is only one.
That's right. All right, all right, we'll take a quick break when we come back. Joe in Youngstown. We'll get to the rest of your calls. Mary Kay Cabot from the owners' meetings in Boca Raton, Florida at 2. She talked with Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, Hugh Jackson today. We'll find out what they had to say when we return here later at 2 o'clock, 2:30. John Keim from Washington talk about RG3. So a lot on this kind of newsy edition. The Browns keeping this offseason interesting here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gibbs. Everybody seems pretty fired up right now about the possibility of RG3, although some absolutely against it. Let's see what you have to say. Joe in Youngstown, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right. Love the show, man.
Thank
love
you.
The show. Hey, yeah, I'll tell you, I believe that RG3's got the talent to come in and play quarterback for the Browns. However, I'm one of them on the side that I'd rather not see that. And my main thing about it is that we just went through 2 years of a media circus. And my fear is that bringing Robert Griffin in, we're going to be once again in that same position, because whether he's playing or not, he's been a polarizing figure, you know, since he came into the league. And that would be my biggest concern, you know, because I think we personally need to kind of quietly build our team through the draft. However, I do think if Hugh decided to bring in Robert Griffin, that, you know, he would feel that he could handle that situation, then you got to, I kind of think to bring in a quarterback at number two also you know, this guy wants to come here. Robert Griffin is looking to revive his career. You know what I mean? So I'm afraid there'd be some quarterback controversy. The things I've read about Robert Griffin with the Redskins and all that, you know, he wasn't the most well-liked player in the room, in the locker room. And I'm afraid of that problem also, which we also just went through for the last couple of years. I mean, even though guys like Johnny, you know, he created a lot of problems. That's what my concern about Griffin is. Personally, my opinion is to go with, I know you guys like Goff. I prefer Wentz a little bit. But I would like to pick one of those two guys at number two and basically kind of throw them in the fire, let them take their lumps. I mean, that's why you keep Joe Thomas at left tackle to kind of protect him a little bit. And then let him make his mistakes the first year, and then I think we're off and running.
So I would say, I think RG3, all things considered, man, I don't know, you never were in a situation like this, but given everything that happened to him last year, the fact that you didn't hear a lot more about him complaining or crying, et cetera, don't you think that reflects somewhat positively on him?
Yeah, I think they're positively on him, and I don't necessarily, I think RG3, whether he was going to maintain his standing as a Redskin or his career was going to go somewhere else, why make himself or put himself out there to be talked about in a negative light while Kirk Cousins is going out and winning football games? You know, I guess you could say, well, I could do that. Well, I can do that. And all it does is make you look like an idiot while you're holding the clipboard on the sideline. So I think his silence actually worked in his favor. And he kind of accepted his role with the Redskins, and he just said, I can't control it because I'm not on the field. I'm earning what I'm earning. There's no way I can go out and practice and play any better or work any harder to gain the favor of Jay Gruden. So therefore, I understand my role, and I'm going to play it until my time is over here, and it is somewhere else. And that somewhere else could potentially be here.
I agree. And I look at it, I don't think he signed to come in and be the day one starter. He hasn't done anything to prove that
no.
he should do that.
No.
He's a fly. It's like taking a guy that was evaluated to be a top two pick in the draft at quarterback and then actually taking a top two pick at quarterback, which they both were, and saying, all right, we've got two flyers, two swings at the plate here to get this quarterback right. That's what it says to me.
Yes. I agree.
That's what I think it should be. RG3 shouldn't be handed anything.
No. $3-4 million max with the potential of him to make 10.
Yeah, exactly. You put a lot of incentives in there, and that's fine. Jim in Mansfield, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Hey, man, I was calling in because, you know, the RG3 thing, you know, I can absolutely 100% agree. Take a chance on him, roll the dice. Worst case scenario, we lose a little bit of cap space. Okay, no big deal. But I don't think we draft a quarterback at number two. The reason I say that is we don't have a Peyton Manning or an Andrew Luck or any one of these locked down 100% he's going to be successful in the NFL. And I don't feel like you should draft somebody that high if they're not a lock. I mean, heck, we can trade down. We can draft somebody else that we know can fit.
But hold on. But
who is a lock?
Derek Carr? Would we take Derek Carr in a heartbeat? Would we take Teddy Bridgewater in a heartbeat? And they went, 32nd and 36th in the draft, roughly, right?
And Jadeveon Clowney went number one, and Greg Robinson went number two, the guys who were supposed to be safe. There are no safe picks, I mean, in the draft. I don't think it's an exact science at all.
Well, and I agree with that, but at the same time, you don't have somebody like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. I don't think that you draft them number one or number two. It doesn't make sense.
It is interesting now. McShay is comparing now Goff after his pro day, which I don't know why. Some of these things that come out make me nauseous. He compares him to Marcus Mariota and thinks he has that kind of potential. Now I'm seeing people evaluate Mayock saying that he believes Goff is and Wentz are as good as Winston and Mariota. Again, it's a lot of hyperbole. I believe that if you have a quarterback that you think is a franchise quarterback, you take him, period, point blank, end of story. Even if you had RG3, what's the worst? If you have two guys that are playing like franchise quarterbacks, oh, the heavens, wouldn't that be horrible for us? We'd find a way to deal with that, and I think we'd all be pretty happy with the results there. Let's go to Mark in East Cleveland. Mark?
Hey, Nate and Matt, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm at work now, but this is the hardest call to make. This is the, you know, as far as getting through, because it's always busy. I'm glad to be talking to y'all for the first time.
Oh, good. We're glad to have you.
Okay, listen, of course I would love to see RG3 here because of the money situation, the draft, and the potential. And, you know, y'all talked about pretty much everything concerning him, and it's all good. It's all positive. But on my Browns bucket list, I would like, and I'm not a, I love OSU, and I'm not an OSU honk, but if you get RG3, like you said, signed for a couple of years, you got both right there. Now, he could put 20 pounds on in a heartbeat. You send him over to Hot Sauce Williams or somewhere. He'll put 20 pounds on and work with it. And, you know, put him across from a Cougar. And then, you know, that'll take care of that. And then you can go to the second pick or, you know, at the end of the first round and get Cardale Jones. Now, once again, I'm not a honk, but can you imagine the popularity, the excitement, not to mention the positive feedback
I think that would be as much of a circus as anything.
You think so?
I do.
Well, I don't think it'd be a circus. It's a project because, you know, you have to build and you start from scratch. So, and we don't know how well Cardale can read defenses. You know, that's on Coach Jackson to figure all that out. But that possibility would be exciting. And thanks for finally getting through. All right, have a good day.
You got it, Mark. I appreciate the call there. Again, I look at RG3 as a lot of untapped potential right now, but I can't look at RG3 signing as meaning that we're good at the quarterback position.
No way.
Can't do
because
it.
Because with RG3 signing, regardless of what we do at number two, Josh McCown under contract too is obviously a fallback. It has to be your fallback here.
Sure.
Is that ideal? No. Does it play well into your future? No, because RG3, you know, has the huge upside, but we also have seen the bottom side. Josh McCown struggles to win football games, and he's 36 years old. So from a building standpoint, you're still stagnated in your growth towards taking a calculated step forward by getting a young, dynamic passer.
Absolutely. All right. For last one for the hour number one, Dino the Trucker. Dino, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good, brother.
Monday. Listen, RG3 is intriguing. I think they ought to take it. If they can get him, they should take him. And I'll tell you my reasons. You know, he has already proven he got him to the playoffs. He got the Redskins to the playoffs. If his mechanics are off, nobody better than Hugh Jackson to work with him, you know.
Yep.
And they should still get a quarterback at number two because, I don't know. I mean, I just still feel that they ought to get a quarterback at number two, you know, for the future.
And you think they should or should not?
Oh, they should. Absolutely. Yes. I don't care if it's Goff or Wentz, whatever, with whatever they work with. You know, it's fine with me. But I just think that they have to have a quarterback ready for the future.
Yeah, I agree
I'm a firm believer. And they can go down the road. They can get position players. They can find them. You know, they could find them players. I'm confident of them. You know, but there is no doubt in my mind that if RG3 wants to come and play for the Browns, they should really, really consider it because that's a plus-plus.
I agree. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Mary Kay Cabot is at the owners' meetings in Boca Raton. She talked with the top Browns brass. We will hear from her right after this.